Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast. Show us the money.
Kaya Biz.
On the street.
On the air.
You're probably wondering, how are we playing that song in the middle of an interview here on Kaya Biz? Well, because I think it's one of the best ways to introduce our next conversation. You are listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, where not only do we keep you informed, entertained, as we just did, but also enlightened with key information that we hope to empower you with. A few moments ago, we spoke about many themes around our careers, how to build sustainable careers, and we know we need careers to fulfill a purpose, but also gain income. And that income, as you heard in the previous conversation, an hour, was really spent on goods and services that we need. And we spoke about our purchasing proposals and where it is that we plan to spend our money. Private label goods is certainly growing in the market, but also where we've been transacting, especially during the Easter season. Every time we tap, we swipe our cards, maybe even just hand over money at a teller. It's largely been at grocery stores, filling stations, and of course, to make sure that we're able to buy the food that we need. But the reason why I played that song for you, Sisokola Song, is because, man, the fact that we as South Africans, yes, we're spending more, but it does seem as though we still have heightened levels of stress and frustration when it comes to managing our money. We are severely impacted by work, life and health stress, which also impacts the money stress tracker. This is one that's conducted by Debtbusters and typically gives us some insight into the concerns that we typically have as South Africans when it comes to managing our money. A good friend of the show joins us again this evening to give us some insight. Benai, my apologies firstly for keeping you waiting for so long. There's been a lot of content to get through, but great to have you with us as always, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Now, if you don't know, I understand you're joining us in your capacity as chairperson of the National Debt Counselors Association tonight. Just to give us some context with regard to understanding the cost of credit and how South Africans still remain, I guess, a bit stressed out about managing their money. But Benai, I'm keen to get your thoughts. Over the last hour, we've spoken to a few key stakeholders and financial institutions who've told us that South Africans are not only spending more, but I guess our level of transaction activity has also increased significantly. So I would assume things aren't so bad.
I think that you're probably right. You know, compared to 1 year ago, we probably are in a better space financially, despite everything else that's going on in the world. And I think a big factor in that has been, as we highlighted before on this show, you know, what's happened with, you know, the food inflation that's tapered somewhat. As you know, inflation has come in at good numbers, and we're hoping that that would mean a reduction in interest rates in terms of a repo rate at the end of this month when the Reserve Bank meets again. What's also happened is I think many millions of people have access some retirement funds that they did not have access to before, mm-hmm. starting in September. But we saw quite a bit of activity in September, October, and then again in March. And I think those eased some of the pressures on the consumers' pockets a little bit. Whether it's sustainable for the long term, I think it's too soon to tell. But that's probably why we're feeling a little bit better than we did this time last year.
Fantastic. And I think that is some good news, as you say. Two-pot gave us some flexibility, slight cut in interest rates, cumulative 75 basis points that we saw last year. But the pressure is still on. And maybe one of the most recent dynamics that we're dealing with is the fact that there's been a pause on interest rate cuts. And that VAT increase, I guess we can also breathe a sigh of relief that it hasn't gone through this May.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think we all did. And we're pleased to see that. You know, it's to go from, it was going to be 2% and then down to nothing. I think that's a big relief. You know, it in terms of our pockets when we spend the money. But as you say, interest rates should be front and center for all of us. And I think what we tried to do with this particular piece is just to highlight how interest rates work in South Africa, particularly when it comes to personal loans and credit cards, because I think those are probably the two types of credit agreements we're all most dependent on, especially when times are tough. And I think it's important for our listeners to know, you know, in terms of the interest rate and how that compares to the maximum legal, which is actually, you know, very much dependent on the time of the year that you open these agreements. So I think that's the spirit we wrote this article in.
100%. Maybe so let's do that and contextualize it, because we all know there's, or we should know by now, that there's different types of credit, whether it's for mobile asset like a vehicle, fixed assets like homes, but as you've mentioned, personal loans and credit cards, which typically are very popular within the South African market, and unfortunately sometimes not fully understood in terms of the fundamental difference between the two. Let's start there, Benai, just to understand the difference between the two and why and how the different aspects of interest rates would apply.
Sure, definitely. I think that our starting point is to establish that South Africa is one of the few countries that limits the maximum interest rates that could be charged per credit agreement, which is actually a good thing if you think about it. In many other places, there is no limit. So, you know, it becomes really, really hard as a consumer to know if you are getting a good deal. In our case, there is a legal limit. The legal limit, it was changed in 2016 in terms of how it's calculated for all different types of credit agreements, including personal loans and credit cards. I think the reason why we focus just on that, these two specifically.
Sorry, if I could just come in on that limit. You mentioned something so important, is that we need to understand that it's calculated to a certain maximum. And maybe if you can elaborate, that maximum isn't necessarily a particular figure, but a calculation based on one's individual credit profile or credit score.
Actually, it's more dependent on the repo rate on that particular date. Okay. So it's very much linked to the repo rate. So it should be the same, the maximum for you and me. But I think what we get charged when we walk into a bank or whatever will, of course, be different depending on your credit profile. So, you know, but I think it's important to know how close you are to the maximum. That's a generally good indicator of your own credit worthiness, so to speak, as well. And I think it's a good way to gauge it. But from a legal perspective, the maximum is calculated by the what the repo rate is on that particular date.
Yes, got you. Perfect. Okay. Glad that you mentioned it. You were giving us some context around credit card versus personal loans.
Yes, exactly. So credit cards form part of what's known as revolving credit, and that is in the same category as store cards and everything else. It means that you have a line of credit, you know, it's similar to overdraft. You can access up to the maximum limit that you've been given. And if you do, then the expectation is at the end of your cycle, which is usually the end of the month or end of a 30-day cycle, that you pay back what you incurred during that period. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you know, it's known as revolving credit. It keeps revolving from month to month.
Yes.
These are treated differently than what's known as a term loan or personal loan, which is you take an amount of money, you know, from a bank or from a lender, let's say 10,000 or 20,000 or 50,000 rand. And I think in extreme cases, we also see 200,000 rand. Mm-hmm. And then you say, I'm going to pay this back in, let's say, 4 years or 5 years or 1 year. And as a result, every month you make back a payment. So you're given a lump sum of money. And I think that's the primary difference between the two of them. With a personal loan or term loan, you're normally given a lump sum of money where you commit to paying that back over a number of months or years, whereas with credit card or revolving credit, you get a credit facility or access to credit that you can use up to a certain limit that you've been given, which that limit can also change depending on your personal behavior and how well you pay back and all of that. Mm-hmm. And as a result, these things are treated differently and they have different maximum limits. So for personal loans, it's normally the maximum that, you know, you would be charged, yes, or you could be charged, I should say, is higher than credit cards. And right now, as we sit here today, again, this is based on a repo rate calculation.
Mm-hmm.
It's 28.5% per annum is the maximum you should be charged for a personal loan if you open the account, you know, in the last few months. For credit card, it should be 21.5% per annum. Now, the thing I wanted to highlight here was how much you can be charged as a maximum legally,
yes,
depends very much on the day that you open this credit agreement. So if you have a credit card that you've been using, let's say, since 2014 or 2015 or even before, your maximum credit your interest rate may be higher than, let's say, someone who would open a credit card or get it for the first time between 2020 and 2021, when interest rates were much lower, and therefore maximum that could be charged was much, much lower. Mm-hmm. But there's also some flexibility that is built in terms of, banks could potentially change your maximum credit interest rate, rather. So I think it's really important for people to be aware of that with credit cards or, what we call as revolving facilities, these maximum interest rates or what you are being charged could potentially change. So I think it's great. It's important to go and check in your statement that you get every month. Mm-hmm. What are you actually being charged and how does that compare to the maximum, legally speaking, that is allowed at this point in time? With personal loans, yes. Normally they are, at a point in time, and therefore their interest rate actually doesn't change. But of course, again, depending on between 2020 and 2022, when interest rates were really low, if you took out a personal loan back then, chances are you have a much lower interest rate compared to, let's say, someone who may be taking out a personal loan in the last year or so. They're probably going to be higher. So there, the advice would be to go and check. And if you're in doubt as to whether, what you're paying is high, there's always the opportunity to potentially for you to refinance if you want to with the lender or another institution.
100%. I'm so glad you've given us this difference in understanding here, Benay. And maybe let's zone into the matter at hand, being interest rates. As you've said, all of us are encouraged to go back to our statements to actually see, hold on, how much am I being charged? But also understand the context as to when you might have taken out this credit agreement. Was it at a time when interest rates and the repo rate was quite high? Or perhaps when we saw significant cuts, because that plays a role. I'm keen to get to the point of perhaps adjusting this, fixing it, renegotiating, because so often, again, depending on the type of credit agreement, many South Africans have been encouraged to actually pay special attention to interest rates, not only how much they charge, but where there's flexibility to renegotiate. How would one handle both scenarios, whether with a credit card or personal loan?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as you said, the first thing is to find out how much are you actually, how much are you expected to pay? What is your real interest rate on the, either if you have a personal loan or credit card? With the credit cards, because it's a facility, I think it's important to go back to whoever you got the facility from, whether it was a bank or some other lender, and say, hey, I think that I'm paying too much, or, I should be paying this or that, and then try to renegotiate the actual interest rate. With a personal loan, it's generally not so flexible. So the best advice would be to try to pay it back as quickly as possible, or try to, talk to someone who can give you advice as to whether you can consolidate that personal loan into a bigger one, because generally the money has been given to you already, and that could be with any lender. Or if you're in doubt as to what you are paying in terms of your interest rate and how that compares to the maximum interest rate, our advice would be to call one of our members, a debt counselor, who can actually walk with you through your statement and try to explain to you what your interest rate is and versus what it could be or what it should be, and then you can consider what options you have.
100%. And I think so important was what you mentioned earlier, is that once you then understand how much interest you are paying, understand how it relates to the absolute highest that you could be charged. And maybe you can give us a refresher of those metrics again for personal loans versus credit cards.
Yeah, for as you said, thankfully interest rates have come down in the last few cycles. So today, if I were to walk into a bank or another lender and ask for a personal loan, the maximum interest rate that I could be charged is 28.5% per annum. And if I were to get a credit card today for the first time, then it would be 21.5% per annum. If you go further back, and I think this is also part of what we want to make sure people understand, if you, let's say, you had took a personal loan or you opened your credit card back in 2020, those numbers would be very different. So, for example, for a personal loan, let's say exactly 5 years ago in 2020, if you took out a personal loan, the maximum would be around 25%, mm-hmm. whereas for a credit card, it would be around 17-18%. And the reason for that is because these are linked to the repo rate, and back then, interest rates were much, much lower. So again, I think we're one of the most unique countries in the sense that the type of agreement and the date that you take it out actually allows us to already know what the maximum is. So we published it on our website, ndca.org.za, for consumers to go and look, depending on for the last 10 years, if they've taken out a loan, what the maximum interest rate would be. And I think it's quite useful. And again, if you're any doubt, you can talk to a debt counselor or someone who can walk through your financial statements with you and advise you, you know, what, depending on when you opened your, when you took out your credit agreement, what the maximum interest rate should be.
Got you. Such an important aspect that you're reminding us of here, Benai, just to go back, read, understand the financial agreements that we find ourselves involved in. And where you have shown great financial discipline, paid off your credit, worked on your credit score, there might be room to negotiate, but also understand the complexities or the rules and regulations surrounding the credit agreement that you actually might have in place, the terms, the conditions, and of course, agreements that we align to. But more than anything, you've also educated us that we remain in a very controlled, competitive, but also a space that focuses on the health and well-being of South Africans to avoid being overly indebted, given the caps and the limitations we have on interest rates. Always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, and happy Workers' Day, whatever's left of it.
Yes, that's true. And to you too, please, Benai. Have a wonderful weekend, and really thankful for your time this evening and keeping us informed.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Have a wonderful day further. That's Benai Sega, chairperson of the National Debt Counselors Association. Next time, when you hear themes like treating customers fairly, the National Credit Act, these are all reminders of the fact that South Africa's rules and regulations, especially when it comes to credit lending, are for our benefit as South African consumers. As you've heard Benai mention, there's many ways and avenues within which we can check this, evaluate this, ask questions, seek support, do the calculations, and make sure that the numbers make sense for you and your standing. Share your voice notes. Always excited to hear from you. 063-688-0959. When we come back, I'm going to give you an amazing conversation we had with good friends of ours who are based out in Minneapolis, but prioritize corporate social investment within disenfranchised communities in South Africa.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.